Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 220. 220 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. Welcome back, Rick.
I pinged you on the way home, and I had to attach my external antenna on the phone to the antlers to be able to get signal, and you didn't respond. If you would delay the recording until later, I could have made it.
Could have made it. I know we had commented previously that we heard that the moose had landed, but you know, not enough time to actually work in our schedules.
There you go. So much pre-planning goes ahead.
So how was the trip? You have a couple weeks to catch up on.
Trip was awesome. It was absolutely great. Although I missed out in a couple of shows, I caught up with them after I got back with my Channel 9 app on my phone, which was great.
Awesome.
And very, very good. So I do have to report that roaming worldwide data for T-Mobile, little plug there, works great back and forth in Canada and also elsewhere, which is also very good too. So, you know, all in all, it was good, disconnected and fun. Sitting on a beach, kicking sand, boiling lobster, and drinking beer.
Sounds fantastic. We talked a little bit about, we had some nostalgic moments, and we talked about some old hardware. Do you have any things that you miss from back in the day?
Well, actually, I saw that episode and I decided to bring a laptop that I had.
I got a notification. A laptop.
So, this is my...
a laptop.
This is my executive SX64 luggable machine. Every executive wanted to have this in the boardroom. Out the front, you have your keyboard, 9-inch CRT tube, and of course, the lovely 1542 floppy drive. Optional expandable hard drive port for a whopping 5 gigabytes if you want to have. Megabytes
it's
if
like,
you want
whoa.
To have it.
Gigabytes. Wow.
Or maybe 20 megs, I think it was. I forget what it was exactly. And of course, you're talking about modems and modem speeds. This puppy used to be hooked up with an old acoustic coupler, 300 baud modem.
So,
if you wanted to.
I was around for a lot of the early days of computers. I was very interested from the beginning. I did not actually ever get to use an acoustic coupler. So, my only.
Regret in life?
No, my only. Exposure to that was via War Games.
Yes.
So, which is, if you haven't seen the movie, I don't
War Dollars,
I haven't
man.
Seen it.
War Dollars.
War Dollars?
Dialers. Remember War Dialers?
Oh, yeah.
I wrote an app that was War Dialers.
Or War Driving?
Yeah.
When Wi-Fi first came out?
The modern day version of it. It's not the same, but
anyway,
still.
Things were great back in the day.
So, I got that for $20 at a yard sale.
Really?
I picked it up from storage. I'm in the process of going through and restoring it to actually in working condition. The serial number on it is 000013. 13. It's the best thing for a clause, is what I got to say. That was what I missed from old hardware.
Oh, we have some comments from last week from 219. Develop KC says, completely off topic, that's okay with us. with the cloud first, mobile first world, and I'll get 4 miners when I'm sitting in a meeting, phone, laptop, computer, I'm running 2 machines in my, I hear all the time, and we'll be in meetings all the time, and everyone has the same meeting right after, so the 15-minute warning goes
everyone
off.
Everyone goes, ding, 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 around the room,
we have a little update from Skype later on in the show that, see, they have handled that a little bit better. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting problem. I think that there's this, we're using multiple devices all the time. It was a lot easier back in the day. We were just talking about AOL Instant Messenger. You'd sign in someplace, it would just sign you off everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, you only ever got in one location. That doesn't work today. Apps are always on, they're always listening.
I've got a couple of tablets that I have signed on to. I've got my phone I'm signed on to. They sign on to Skype in the background and stuff like that. It's just all over the place. We have the update you're saying later on the show about that.
About Skype, yeah.
Now is he talking about how because different apps are looking at the same source? Is that where he's getting at, do you think? Or is it simply the fact that he gets notified?
Multiple. So in here he says the Mail app, Calendar app, Outlook, Windows Phone. Like, it's both.
It's multiple apps.
It's both, yeah. I mean, you've got multiple apps, you've got multiple devices. It explodes your kind of noise quite a bit. Does anyone remember Visa Local Bus, Turbo Button, Stacker and Double Space, and DOS Protected Mode Interface? That is from CBAE. I'm not going to try to pronounce that as a single word, Sibay.
How about what would be the switch, or what does the switch on defrag.exe/b do in DOS 622? Do you remember that?
No. I don't think I ever ran defrag over.
Reboot.
Okay. Makes
just
sense.
So you know. Just stupid command lines you remember.
I remember the turbo button. We talked about it a little bit. I had a 386 DX66. Mm-hmm. And so it would go from 33 to 66 with a turbo button, and there's a flight simulator that you'd hit the button and all the gas would
run. Did you have the 486 that you could go and then upgrade it with another chip at the same time?
I had a 486, but I was not involved in the innards of the computer at that point, I don't think so. We never upgraded that way. The first machine I built was a AMD K62 Thunderbird, built from scratch.
Nice.
Like, I think of the older machines, I had like added a hard drive. I had unsuccessfully added a CD-ROM drive to a machine. I got it in the case.
You couldn't figure out the master-slave concept?
Stuff got plugged in. It was a long time ago. It was literally like a 1X CD-ROM. I had no idea what I was doing. Nowadays, I actually just rebuilt my computer the other day.
What?
Put a new motherboard, processor, RAM.
So you can help me out with this thing over here?
Yeah, sure. That takes Haswell, right?
The new Xeon 16-core Prox, if you wanted to.
Yes. Well, that's awesome. That's enough looking back. Let's move on with the show. Xbox One is not only not even a year old yet, and the ecosystem is still coming alive. And this week we had a very brand new member, a new app called RedX, which is the first ever exclusive Reddit app built for a console.
That is cool.
Which is interesting.
Very cool.
Interesting.
Yes, very, very cool.
We linked to Major Nelson's blog post here. He has a video, a nice little 3-minute walkthrough of it, but it is a fully featured app. You can browse your subreddits, you can sign in and get your list of subscribed subreddits, you can view videos, animated GIFs, use voice control.
I was about to say, it responds to voice control and natural user interface if you wanted to use Kinect and that sort of stuff as well, obviously. So very, very cool stuff. And, you know, it might actually convince me to spend some more time on some Reddits.
I think there's certain Reddits that'll work a lot better. I wonder how the text-heavy subreddits will work.
Yeah.
I haven't got to use the app yet. The image-heavy ones,
mm-hmm.
probably very nice. A lot of these special ones that use like high-D graphics, like some of the Earth and other ones. They also showed being able to zoom in and out of images and look at great detail. So sometimes big, long rage comics get real long. You can zoom into frame rate.
It's not just being able to go off and read. You can also do the traditional stuff you'd expect to be able to do on Reddit, like the upvotes, the downvotes, and everything else,
right,
too. So it's full feature for what it does.
So check it out now, RedX, R-E-D-D-X.
Oh, it's now.
Yes.
It's available now.
The article says tomorrow, but it's from
a couple days ago, and so...
And this is going to be posted in the future, so it's now.
Got it. This isn't a Trillium update. This is an update on Skype. we mentioned at the very beginning of the show, talking about how notifications take place across a plethora of devices. We have a new thing rolling out on the endpoints for Skype for notification that'll now make it so that when you're signed into multiple systems with your account, it'll, as you mentioned, ring across all those systems as required to notify you to pick up a call. But as far as chatting is concerned, it'll only chat message the window of the most active machine you're currently using. That is cool how they've decided how to do that.
Yes. It is a interesting concept, like you said. Back in the day, you used to just get signed out when you're on multiple devices.
One only, and that's it.
Right. So the notifications and text messaging in one place is cool. Being able to get your incoming calls anywhere lets you be on the computer typing messages and then pick up on your phone for a voice call or whatever you'd like to do. So it's a nice little flexibility there and a nice little update from our friends at Skype.
Now, it mentions that when you stop using a particular device for a period of time, it will continue to go and notify all of them. But when you start to use one, you can follow up that one. This is a rolling update. This is ensuring that you have the most recent Skype update for all your different clients that you have been running on, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows and that sort of stuff. But the endpoint technology that supports this is rolling out over the next couple of weeks, so you should start to notice it soon.
The White House has given up on making coders dress like adults. That's a subject of this article. I'm going to pick that apart just a little bit. Don't call us coders.
I know, eh?
Engineers, developers, coders is kind of a...
Sysadmins.
It's a simplification of what we do. And adults, I feel like that an adult may dress like an adult feels. That's what makes you like an adult, right? Well, one of the things I found very interesting, East Coast versus West Coast, and you know, different industries and everything, is the West Coast kind of run more by the engineering development type folks. Mm-hmm. East Coast run a little bit more by like, the financial type folks.
Yep.
There's our suits, and those are flip-flops, or hoodies. This article talks about Mikey Dickerson, who was one of the guys who went over to, was a Silicon Valley tech guy, went over to the White House as one of the people to help out in the healthcare.gov redo, or fixer-upper. and has continued to work there. And he says that he's been, they've really loved the work he's done in his team, and that they've asked them to try and interview and get more people to come over. And one of the first questions they ask is, do they make you wear a suit?
It seems like an obvious question to be able to ask that. I mean, you're going to work at the White House.
Right, right. And you're going to walk around like the, like, it's not the Oval Office, but the West Wing and everything, and just kind of your hoodie and slippers, maybe not. but I think that they explain in here, the question is more of just a thing of dress code. It's more of a question of, are you just coming in to be asked to do as a, like, someone who's maybe stuck in an older culture set to do, or are you being asked to solve problems? Mm-hmm. And a lot of being able to solve problems, especially in technology these days, is being able to go and do things. And be able to go do things your way and imagine things in a different way. And sometimes the suit is just very thinking straight, not out of the box, kind of, you know, you're stuck in that thing. So it's more of a symbol of a thought process.
The article's interesting. They actually have a nice video that talks about it. And if you skip ahead to around the 3-minute mark, you'll actually see when he's actually wearing one of those suits in the same cabinet room as President Obama.
Right. President Obama actually comments on him saying, oh, look, you've got suits. It's like becoming official and everything. And he says, I'm literally only wearing this because you're in here, Mr. President. Nice. Which I guess is a fair excuse. If I was meeting with the president that day,
I'd probably dress up.
I've got suits.
Definitely.
So a cool article on what it's like to be outside of the mainstream tech industry and out in, you know, the real world.
And so what do you wear every day?
I actually thought of this article today, and I wore this just to spy. Usually I'm wearing a collar.
Yeah.
So usually I'm wearing collar and buttons.
I wear a collar when I got to put a microphone on it because it's easier than it is to use a t-shirt. When I do executive briefings, we have a place up the road here called Executive Briefing Center. Mm-hmm. When I do those, I tend to wear a bit more of a collar polo shirt.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm like,
maybe not. Maybe not
whatever.
Jeans.
I still wear the hat. Even for the EBC briefings, too. Much to the chagrin of the staff that are there.
Well, their style has to be part of everything, so.
Go check out the article, and what do you think about dress codes? I gotta say, it's an interesting way to tender your resignation from the board. Steve Ballmer steps down from the Microsoft board, and he needs to inform the current CEO, Satya. And he does so by writing a press release or a letter to Satya, but it's a Word document on OneDrive, and that's how it was released.
Mobile first, cloud first.
I know. So I got to say, that is awesome.
Well done.
Personally, very well done. So, Steve has stepped down. He has basically decided that he's going to be taking an awful lot of time to look after owning and running the LA Clippers. And also looking after some teaching possibilities.
Yeah.
Apparently he's going to be teaching a couple of courses in the spring and in the fall for a couple of different universities as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, he talks a little bit about, you know, he wasn't really sure what he was going to do after. And I can imagine being in one place for 30 years.
Yeah.
That kind of becomes ingrained in part of your being.
Totally.
So he didn't really know what was going on. The Clipper opportunity came up, and he purchased them, and that's a huge opportunity for him to go and compete against other managers. Mm-hmm. We're actually talking about this, me and a bunch of my sports friends. It's an arena for business people to do business, to have like 30 equal level businesses to compete against each other, and getting the best personnel and the best staff and training and equipment. So it's kind of an interesting realm there he gets to go in and will be able to invest himself in. As well as, doing a lot of educational and outreach programs, which is fantastic to hear that he's going to be doing.
Go check out the letter. It's available for everyone to see. Anxious to wonder what the web stats are on that particular letter to see what's at. We actually linked to a letter from a quick little note on The Verge, but The Verge has linked to the letter itself.
Yep.
Very interesting. It's sad to see him go.
It is.
I miss him. It's becoming a lot hard to become the Cliff Clavin of your group of friends anymore, because anyone can whip out their little personal device, do a search on Bing or Google, and come up with the correct answer. You can't BS people as much anymore.
It's true.
The creators of the ever-popular game from the 90s, You Don't Know Jack, have come back with a new game for Xbox One that is called Fibbage. The goal of this is actually to go ahead and to try to complete the fill-in-the-blanks with some outrageous possible answers, and then I believe you use, the interesting part here is you use your smartphone or tablet, probably with smart glass, to be able to interface with the game and be able to rate yes or no if you believe that particular person is correct or not.
Right. Adding in the extra smart devices allows you to play up to 8 players.
Yeah.
Which is great if you have a bunch of people who don't want to take turns playing and want to see who is the best at making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know Jack, we're talking, it has a great heritage. It was a game back in the 90s. There's a 360 version that came out not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I highly recommend that one as well. And now Fibbage here on Xbox One.
Take a look at it, it's available. The example, is, as far as the question is concerned, is something like, the mayor of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, is blank.
Ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich.
Hey, I'll vote for that. One of the first apps that actually gets a very large, wide tile on my phone is actually weather. Be it that we happen to live close by the Pacific Ocean, which has a varying different types of weather that comes flying through, or it's the fact that I happen to like to know if I can ride the motorcycle into work or not, and what times I should drive to make sure I don't get wet. They have now released...
I believe it's July.
July
by the way.
Is the good time, it's good. The AccuWeather app has been updated for Windows Phone, and it now, besides giving you hourly forecasts of what's going on, they give you minute-by-minute precipitation forecasts as well for street addresses or GPS locations.
Yeah, and that's incredible.
That's
often you look and be like, oh, it's a 40% chance of rain today. Does that mean it's going to rain 40% of the day?
Only 40% is strong. It's 100%, which is downpour.
And then you look at it and it's like, oh, well, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 40% chance. And
nice.
It doesn't really help. This will actually help, especially when you have a time commute, you have meetings, you have places to be. You want to know if you're going to get caught.
You're able to go in and to pin locations to be able to see what's going on. And I'm assuming it probably uses some kind of technology with the radar. I used to use the radar. The radar would simply show you the progress of the storm track, but it would never give you the granularity of where you were. Now they're probably just doing some modeling with a little tiny square of space to be able to see if it works or not. I think it's cool. Go check it out and stay dry.
Thanks so much for watching episode 220 of Ping. 220 is now in the can. Don't forget to follow us on follow the conversation with us all week. Hashtag Ping Show.
Hey.
Speaking of which,
hey,
we have some photos sent from Pedro. Of a nine guy around, is it Disney World?
It looks like it's Legoland. It's and Disney World.
Legoland, Disney World. I see. I spy.
Islands of
Adventure. Yes. So I also spied a Harry Potter postcard.
Very nice.
On the way.
I can't wait.
So thank you very much. Follow me at Mark DeFalco.
And I'm over here at Rickster CDN.
Wow, it's good to have the team back.
I'm back for a while. No travel plan for the near for the short term, I guess you'd say.
I hope you like having us back. If so, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theping show. Question of the week, what's your dress code?
Mm.
We may have our own personal quirks. What's yours? What's your dress code? What dress code do you like for your company? If you had your own company, what would it be? What's your dress code at home? Let us know. Not too much detail, but enough.
You got it.
See you guys next week.
Oof. Come on, right through it. Oh, you hit it right on.
Yes.
Oh, I was going hard.
Winding up for that one. Just little League World Series all over there.